We're not the ladies at lunch.
We are the men who dine.
And you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, friends. This is Phil Colicchio coming to you live from the beautiful studios of the Heritage Radio Network here in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. And you're listening to me, Phil Colicchio. I'm an attorney specializing in hospitality law. And our show is called The Business of the Business. The show explores the nature of the restaurant and hospitality industries from the businessman's point of view or businesswoman's point of view. And we air each Wednesday at 5 p.m. live here on the Heritage Radio Network. If you miss this broadcast, and I have no idea why you would, you can find us in the archive here at www.heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes. So it is my goal on this show to expose the listeners to a broad array of businesses that grow so naturally from the restaurant industry. And today we're really going to look at a truly organic phenomenon that has grown out of the restaurant industry, but it might not be what you think. It's not a food product. It's actually a human product. I have with me today the incredible Men Who Dine, and they have become a social media phenomena in the New York region, a great friend to the restaurateurs and the chefs in our area. And I want to welcome Anthony Shilia. I want to welcome Alan Watts. And I want to welcome Gennaro Pecchia. How are you, fellas?
Doing great.
Doing very
fantastic.
Well. I'm glad happy to be here.
Well, I'm really glad to have you here. It's fantastic to actually talk to you instead of reading your tweets, which I do on a daily basis, several times a day. You know, guys, one of the things that I think is really remarkable about what you've accomplished in a relatively short period of time is that you have no real place in the social media of restaurants. You've made a place in it. You are not wise guy commentators. You are not bomb droppers. You're not negative at all. You're three nice guys with opinions, and you share them every day with 65,000 or so of your closest friends. Alan, how did this start?
Well, it was about a little over a year ago now that we were at an event at the Four Seasons restaurant in New York City. And we were sitting there in the pool room, and it was actually the truffle menu, correct? It was the beginning of the truffle season. Mm-hmm.
With the new chef,
mm-hmm. And it was an incredible experience. And we're sitting there, and Gennaro looks at me, and he goes, "You know what? We are not the ladies at lunch. We are the men who dine."
Boom.
And I said, "That is it." I said, "That is it. I don't know what it is, but that is it." It was beautiful. And I literally got on my my phone, and I registered the domain name.
Oh, that's great.
And I said, "Let's do something. I don't know what it is, but let's do something with it."
That's a terrific story, and that's entrepreneurial inspiration right out of the box, isn't it? And again, it came from the truffle, which is
and pink champagne,
yeah,
and pink champagne, bison steaks,
and cotton candy,
and wow,
the huge cotton candy.
Oh my!
I think it was
my birthday.
Yeah, it was Alan's birthday.
It was Alan's birthday.
Yeah, so we have to thank Julian also at Four Seasons for creating this whole
yeah, it's
atmosphere.
True
brotherhood.
It's true.
Well, that's, you know what? We will. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
So Anthony, it baffles me to see how many places you guys wind up in a single day. And you really don't break it up, do you? It's not like one of you goes here and one of you goes there. You all three actually do this
together. It's constant. I think that's an important part. Is like it's constant contact. We're always out there. We're always interacting, whether it's through Twitter, mostly Twitter, or Facebook. And it's just us
being ourselves.
I can't explain it. It's very organic. It just comes naturally. I mean, like,
you've got Anthony. You've got a chef's background, right?
A little bit, very little. I went to school for couple of months to cooking school. I have a degree in hospitality management. I have a degree in radio. So
well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, you know what? When I start to fall, I want you to pick me up and walk me through this. But your involvement came when you met these two.
Yeah.
Over a food blog, as I understand it. Is that accurate?
Correct. Through eatitalian.com. Correct.
Yeah. And Gennaro, I know that occasionally we can find you in different places, like the Art of Manliness. I've seen on the internet, which I was actually quite frightened of when I clicked on and said, "I hope I'm not going to be followed by the FBI here." But I saw a fine photo of you as a young man shaking Governor Cuomo's hand, and you still have an involvement in the New York State.
Yes.
In the governor's office, don't you? Tell me about that.
I work for the New York State Council on the Arts. We're the largest funders of nonprofit arts.
Terrific.
And helping emerging artists. We don't help professional artists who get paid to do their work. So a lot of arts and education in schools and that sort of thing.
That's terrific.
So that's my connection to the state, and I've been with the state a long time.
That's terrific. And obviously the state is benefiting from really the great public relations services that you guys are doing for the New York restaurant industry. The industry, I like to point out, I like to remind people that it's one of the most significant employers, not just in the state of New York, but in the United States. The hospitality industry employs so many people across the country that constant positive promotion can only help.
Sure.
And as you pointed out with your degree, Anthony, that degree translates into a number of different fields, because hospitality is central to everything in business. It's hospitality training. It's required in prisons, and it's required in elder care locations. It's really important everywhere. Alan, you came to this in a sort of a different way, didn't you? You started out in the music industry, right?
I did, back in the mid to late 80s.
Can you tell me about how that began and how it moved into a food culture?
Well, I started out as a record producer and engineer, and I kind of began my career when rap started to take off.
I've heard of rap.
You have? Mm-hmm.
I've heard of rap, yes.
Yes. So,
I mean, we're in Bushwick, man.
That's true. We're
in the heart of it. It's great, yeah.
So it was one of those things, right place, right time, and I became relatively successful as a very young guy, and had a great time in the music business. And I think it gave me a good knowledge of people, because I'm exposed to a very broad audience, and there was a natural transition from that into the restaurant business, which was my real passion.
Was it always your passion?
It was always my passion. Mm-hmm. In high school, growing up, a very good friend of mine who's now a very successful chef. We like to laugh and say that, while our friends were out partying, we were cooking dinner together. So we were really interested in food and hanging out and enjoying cuisine.
Right. Now, Gennaro, I've seen you out and about, a very natural socializer. Mm-hmm. There's a tipping point, though, when socializing and passion about a subject like food becomes a business. Tell me when it was that it really hit you that, my goodness, I'm going to be able to create a business that's going to allow me to explore my passions on an everyday basis. When did it become obvious to you that you had to do this?
Basically, I used to work for Tim and Anita Zagat as Tim's assistant. Mm-hmm. That's how I fell in love with food to start. I continued with that even when I got called back to the state for my job. I just said, you know what? This would be fantastic just to attend wine tastings, attend dinners and that sort of thing. So I was actually a person who used to attend a lot of things. And when I met these guys, I was just like, you know what? Like Alan said, we were sitting in one of the most beautiful restaurants in New York City with one of the best restaurateurs. And we said, wow, I said, this could really be something that we can't even imagine at this table right now. So from there, it was like the next day we started calling people, PR people, and they were just like, hey, that's love the name, love the concept, and come to our dinner, come to our tastings.
That's terrific. You clearly, though, you spend money to do this. I know that you do not. I know that you do not walk into restaurants. I've had
but
the pleasure.
I like to say we invest money, not spend money, because
that's that's a good
it's,
point.
We honor chefs. We honor the food world. It's not just to say, hey, let's have, you know, 7,000 calories, which we do sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's to say, you know what? Let's patronize people who are doing things right.
Yeah.
You know, artisanal food.
Artists.
Artisanal products, that sort of thing.
I think that's a great point, that what you're doing really is you're investing in your business when you're out doing it. Because I know you don't ask for freebies. And to our audience, I've had the singular pleasure of having a nose to tail goat dinner.
That's right.
With these three fellows, and I didn't know what I was going in for, but by the end of the night, I realized that I wasn't just with food groupies. I was with a group of people who really really evaluated everything that came across their plates. And again, look for the best thing in each dish that came through. Anthony, let's talk about the business here. How does a business like The Men Who Dine generate revenue?
That is I think we're still trying to figure that out, to be honest. I mean, I think it's fair to say that we created this not knowing what we were creating. Mm-hmm. So it's been a little over a year now, and we're finally, I think, coming into our own. I mean, again, we don't know where we're going to be next year. We don't know where we're going to be next week. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's just us putting our three heads together and trying to figure out what is the best route, what's the best course of action that we could take to make money from it.
Right,
which I think at this point it's coming to fruition. I think now people are approaching us for sponsorships. People want to be associated with our brand.
Yes,
and that's a very exciting turn.
And I've noticed in taking a look at the www.menwhodine website that all of you listeners should check into, because it's not only a sort of a daily calendar of interesting food events, but these fellows have also archived a number of their adventures, and that's really what they are. Our adventures.
They are definitely adventures.
Yes. And so here we are, right, with a business model that's going to take adventures, that's going to take food passion, and that's really going to continue to grow. There are certain companies that I know that that love to get behind groups that have significant Twitter followings. They sort of think of it as each Twitter follower is a dollar, because you're reaching that follower. That follower has chosen to take your lead and listen to what you say. So tell me about your success or failure with Twitter. When did Twitter become such an important part of your business?
Well, I think it always has been an important part of what we do, because it's kind of the way that we tell our story moment by moment.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to have created a video at Joanne Trattoria on the Upper West Side of New York. It happens to be Lady Gaga's father's restaurant. And when we did release this piece, Lady Gaga did tweet the video out to her 27 million followers. So that was kind of the tipping point in which, you know, our Twitter followers started to scale pretty dramatically, and people started to really notice what we were doing. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it's besides regular people, we have a pretty extensive chef and restaurateur following.
Absolutely.
Which blows my mind. I mean, we were at Guga Muga a few months ago, and Michael Simon was there. So I was busting his chops. I said, Michael, you don't follow us. He goes, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. I showed him. I said, here, you're not here. You don't follow me. You don't follow us. He goes, when I get in my car, I will follow you. Sure enough, 2 hours later, we were followed by Michael Simon. So, I mean, you know, it's crazy.
And I noticed, because I do check my Twitter accounts, not as often as I think as you guys, but I do notice there is a lot of interplay with you and notable chefs,
mm-hmm.
notable restaurateurs.
Absolutely.
And I think that they take your cues very happily and very seriously. Also, I know you wanted to mention that there is something special going on tonight. There's a film that's being screened. Can you tell us about that? Because that's an important subject matter.
So it's Hunger Hits Home. It's a film that was made by No Kid Hungry, which is an organization that you know is trying to. Hunger in America is obviously a huge problem, and so it's kind of focusing more on children who are hungry. So they're having this movie.
Where will it be screened?
It'll be at Tribeca Cinemas, which is down by your job.
On Varick Street.
Varick Street. So Ted Allen will be there from Chopped. You have Mark Murphy, who's also supporting it. So it's going to be a great event.
What time will that start?
I believe it starts at 7 o'clock.
Terrific.
Correct.
Well, this is a good time for us to take a short break. We're going to come back here on the business of the business with the men who dine. We're going to talk a little bit about this food revolution that they write about. And where they find themselves in that revolution. Which side are they on? The business of the business on the heritageradionetwork.org.
By Whole Foods Market. Seeing a need to help people sort through all the misinformation about healthy eating, Whole Foods Market added a seventh core value: to promote the health of our stakeholders through healthy eating education. In our stores, we give you the tools you need for choosing the most nutritious foods and healthy recipes, as well as offering classes with nutritionists and cooking coaches to help inspire good health and well-being. Stop by your local store today and learn more about our Health Starts Here program and wellness clubs, or online at wholefoodsmarket.com/healthstartshere. Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
And welcome back to the business of the business. I'm Phil Colicchio, broadcasting live from the studios of the Heritage Food Network here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like that introductory music and that break music, you can thank the terrific band, the Punch Brothers. That is Movement and Location from their most recent release, Who's Feeling Young Now. One terrific band. If you ever get the opportunity to see these musicians, step up to the plate and get out there and see it. Fellas, when I was looking into your background and was particularly interested in your writings, because usually, you know, you're usually the 140 character guys, but occasionally I see that you actually put some great sentences together. And I note that you've repeated a couple of times that you believe that we're living in a you call it a food revolution. Can you, Alan, explain what that means?
I think it's about, you know, accessibility. I think that today anybody can enjoy great cuisine. It's not for the elite. It's for everybody. And I think everybody's doing something special. And, you know, like here in Roberta's, you know, in Bushwick, they're doing an artisan pizza, and it's a phenomenal product. And that's just one example of, you know, the great food that's out there for everybody. It's not about these just the high end, and it's not about the elitist.
Yeah, I kind of keyed in on the revolution component, because I really think that we found ourselves in a real populist movement when it comes to the food culture. That it's open, it's really open to everyone. Tony, I can see
you agree. I think because of these things, these phones, these iPhones, or these...
You're holding your iPhone.
My iPhone. I mean,
you're holding your tools.
It's literally attached to my hip. I mean, it's pictures of me that I see. I'm always on the phone, but people think that I'm being rude. It's not that I'm being rude. I'm actually gauging my business this is how I can know what's going on out there. I mean, as we talk, I'm getting tweets from Boss Lady 921, loving the live interview taking place right now. So I mean,
well, that's terrific. A plumber needs to carry a wrench, and a baseball player needs a bat, and social media geniuses need to carry their equipment with them. I see all of you have your phones out, and I'm glad they're not ringing.
Definitely coming from the radio background, definitely know that they keep it on. On vibrate.
That's right. Anthony, for those of you who may not know, Anthony actually is a professional radio announcer.
That's right.
Tony Mangia.
Can you give us your big intro?
I can give a plug to my old radio station. So yeah. Now I'm on the spot. Okay.
Well, we can come back to it, Tony. Don't worry about it.
I'm ready. Okay. WPSC-FM 88.7, Brave New Radio. This is Tony Mangia, and you're listening to The Tony Mangia Show, Radio Italian Style.
That was it.
Wow.
That was the old. Wow. Feels good.
I aspire to that level of smoothness, my friend. I don't think it'll come from me, but let's get back to the men who dine. Get back to your business, right? Every business has to have goals. Yes. Are you guys goal setters? Do you seek particular things? Like, some people talk about, I want X number of Twitter followers, or I want X number of Facebook friends. Where do your goals go beyond those kinds of numbers? Numbers are important, but take us in the future.
You know, we've now been approached by a number of TV producers, and that's been a very, you know, kind of mind-boggling. Like, all of a sudden, we're getting a phone call that you guys should be on TV.
Well, fellas, I'm looking at you three, and these are faces for radio.
Thanks, buddy.
So I'm sure that the television
eaters, not models.
You're all in pretty good shape. I will give you that. Each carrying maybe an extra little pound or two, but with all that you do. But tell me about is television in your future? That's interesting.
Yeah, I would hope that it is. It's an exciting proposition, and we've all, you know, kind of have a desire to do it if it's the right situation. You know, it's difficult to wrap your head around when people are telling you that you should be on TV. You know, what do you take away from that? It's, you know, it's kind of surreal.
Well, is it surreal, or is it just an extension?
Well, I think
of what you're doing every day.
I think it's a potential. I think it is an extension, and I think it's, hopefully, it's inevitable.
Well, then let's talk about that thing that goes right along with that, which is really what makes the men who dine, and we are talking to the men who dine here on the Heritage Food Network, radio network, what makes you different than, let's say, Eater or the Daily Candy blog or something like that? What makes you different?
I mean, Phil, because actually one of the things I like saying is that we're not Yelp, we're Help.
Gennaro, that's a really great phrase. Explore that.
Basically, you know, the way that we look at things, because we talk a lot, we're like brothers, basically. We sit down at a place, and if something's not up to par, we do not bash it. We do not say this place needs new waiters or a new owner or whatever. It's basically, you know, for us, we deal with a lot of chefs personally, which is great, because you walk in a place and they're like, the men are dining here, and you see a big smile. Mm-hmm. That's a good feeling for us. So if you're going to tell me that a plate is good or a restaurant is good or something like that, you better be either a chef or be someone who's involved in culinary world.
Well, let's talk about the hard question, right? Which is not every experience is a good one.
It's true.
How do you communicate that without embarrassing your host?
you know, there are times that we've been invited to restaurant openings and we've been asked to give a honest, you know, critique to the chef, to the owner. And we are very candid about that because we think it's important in our job is to help. So we like to do that. As far as putting it out in the public, it's really what our job is to spotlight and to highlight and to put out there what's just fantastic and what's different and what's unique. That's what we enjoy to do.
And is that something now as we move forward and the Men Who Dine move into the future, that that level clearly certainly gets you invited to a lot of places. But it sounds as if it's not your goal to be TMZ, that you're not looking to be in that space where you're going to be taking topless photos of chefs from 500 yards away. You're going to give your followers, your Facebook followers, your Twitter followers, hopefully your television audience, this radio audience, great repartee and great directions on where to go and what they should try.
Phil, I think the main thing is that we don't come off like, look what you're missing or you can't have this. We're more like, take this ride along with us. Yeah. That's important for us.
Well, let me bring you back because it's really intriguing to me that, frankly, that people let you into their kitchens, chefs let you into their kitchens when
it's
you
remarkable.
Really were some three fellas who were interested in what they were doing.
That's right.
When did it go wrong? There had to be an experience in your career where it all went bad on one visit.
Has it?
I've had pretty good luck. I mean, we could probably come up with some funny story or something like that, but I mean, we've been pretty lucky to have accessibility to like inside the kitchen and remarkable places as well.
I mean, I think there have been times where we've been shut down. Yeah. There definitely have been when we've, you know, we're out every night and, you know, through Twitter, we'll hear of an event and we'll say, let's go. Okay, we get to the event and we're not in. Mm. They don't let us in.
Ah.
We're denied.
Wow. Yeah.
We are denied.
That happens on occasion.
It does. And it's you know, it's fine. It's like, okay, fine. You don't want us here. We're out.
And you know what we do?
We move on.
We just keep on looking and we end up somewhere else at the end of the night because we're doing two, three things
a
night.
You know, there are a handful of restaurants in this city, aren't there?
Correct, yeah.
That's right. You can always. So, give me the latest and greatest. What have you seen recently that has blown you away?
I think we had a great experience at that restaurant in Queens, Tortelleria Nixtamal.
Nixtamal,
that was something else.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell the audience about it.
Talk about grassroots.
Yeah, I mean they're making the tortillas. Tortilla from the dry corn from the. It's cool, like a Nixtamal process where they mix it with lime, and it breaks down. I guess the starch or something in the corn, and
they grind it and then they
make tortilla.
So, Anthony, you're not just another pretty face. You know the science of all.
I mean that's what I love to read. I'm a nerd. I'm a bookworm.
And a pretty cool thing is the owner comes up to us, goes, "Well, I want you to come here at midnight one night and make it with us."
Yeah.
And the actual tortilla machine is in the middle of the restaurant. It's not hidden downstairs or what have you, but you can actually. They want us to work it and do it, and we're like, "Yes, we do."
Well, you were in the kitchen. We were all in the kitchen.
We were all in the kitchen.
Yeah, worked our way into the kitchen.
I was stirring the corn,
and these guys ate all my guacamole. That was a bad part of it.
That might have been bad for you, but for us,
yeah,
it was
exactly. You guys were having a good time.
Well, I hope that one gets captured on film.
We were at an Indian restaurant.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Called Moti Mahal Deluxe up on the Upper East Side, and we're in the kitchen, and they're showing us how to make naan bread in the tandoor oven.
Yeah.
I think from the actual, you know, from the whole process, you know, the guys like whipping out the dough, you know, slapping it around, throwing it into the oven, and we got video, we got shots of it. It's like, you know, and these guys were just like, come back for more.
Yeah, passion. That's our keyword.
Well, you certainly share it, and you certainly bring it all together with your thought about a revolution. Because, again, I key in on that because revolutions. Are meant to end something and begin something else. And what I've seen from reading your daily missives, what I hear from you is that you really do want to take this passion you have and this respect that you have for this industry and the people who work in it and work so hard and really work along with everyone else that's either in the kitchen or on the floor, bringing real positive experiences, real hospitality to the public. I certainly want to see you continue to do well. When will I be able to get the Men Who Dine T-shirt?
We're working on the merchandising, because that is the next big thing that we're going to be doing is, the Men Who Dine hats and the shirts and, who knows what else.
The tie.
I mean, that's one thing. One of our trademarks is basically always being dressed up no matter what, whether it's shucking oysters with, a chef or whether we're, at a place that is like, everybody's in tuxedos. We'll be in tuxedos too. It doesn't matter. We'll get down with anything you have going on. But no matter what, even at Roberta's right now, we're dressed in suits out of respect for Roberta's, for your show, because only, it only matters, like you said, the respect that you give to a place or a person.
Well, that's a great way to wrap up. I do think that if you didn't respect this culture, you certainly couldn't be passionate about it, and you certainly couldn't be putting your money where your mouth is. You put a lot of things where your mouth is in your business. That's for sure. But the food revolution that you talk about, I even sitting here, obviously I'm even part of it. It changed my life. It changed my career path in a way that I never expected it to, with my law practice. Never thought for a moment when I got out of law school that I'd be working in the hospitality field. So what I like to do at the end of a show, and when I've got successful people in here who've climbed some mountains, I like to let them know that people think about what you're doing and they think they want to get into your kind of business. So I know there are bars to entry to get into any business, but can each of you give the audience one takeaway for someone who wants to get into the social media business in the food world? Give them a little advice,
sure.
One takeaway.
Sure.
Alan?
Yeah, I think for me, it's about drive and not listening to no. No is not a word that you can listen to, and you just have to continually move forward.
See it. Tony Maggia.
I'm all about persistence and passion. Those are my two things. I mean, people tell us no a lot, or tell me no. It's in regular life. You say, you can't do this, but you do it anyway, and you become successful with it.
And you've been doing great. Gennaro.
Basically, waking up hungry, waking up obsessed with something, whether it be food or anything else. And actually, again, going up to a chef and giving them a compliment rather than sitting back and expecting the chef to ask you to come out and dance.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen. You have to just go out there with drive.
Got it. Well, guys, that's great advice, great takeaways. We're getting close to wrap-up time. I want to thank the Men Who Dine for making their way to Bushwick, Brooklyn today. Tony Shilia and Alan Watts and Gennaro Pecchia. This is Phil Colicchio with the Business of the Business on the heritageradionetwork.org. We'll see you all next week. Guys, let's go get some pizza.
Let's do it.
All right.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.